Man.
Good, good. Well, bless somebody around you. Just look at them and bless them. As a friend of mine used to say, bless them right in the face. Good. The Bible says, by the blessing of the upright is the city exalted. And so they're part of the town and they're part of the upright, so maybe they'll get a double portion. Here's the one I like. If you bless them and they're just hateful and won't receive it, the Bible says it'll come back on you, right? So God blessed me to bless them. I bless them. They don't want it. I get double portion, all right? Try again. Just find the most hateful person you can and go, this is totally self-motivated. Kathy, quit looking at your husband. That's not right. I saw it. Okay, good. Yeah, bless you. Larry just blessed me for being such a blessing in his life. It's a good thing. Hey, if you have served in the military, would you raise your hand? We were going to give you $100, but we didn't have that much money. So, and Steve, okay, good, good. The Bible says, honor those to whom honor is due. And then it says, honor is the first commandment with promise, and it will release life. And so may life and blessing and goodness and the grace of God be poured out as we remember those that have served. And we have, we decided to do the $100 thing because there are two kids in my family that are, well, they're not kids, they're men, that are in the military. So we just decided we're going to go ahead and do that anyway. Dan's going to give the money, so no. It is also Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the time the church remembers that there was a new dispensation in God and a new covenant when the Holy Spirit came to the earth, right? So you had Jesus, and I would like to sit on a hill and just listen to Jesus talk, wouldn't you? That'd be amazing. But here's what he told the guys. Here's what he told his followers. It's better for you that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. And so we are in another dispensation, the dispensation of the Spirit. God interacts a different way, and it is not that we have encounter with God externally, but we have God encounter with God internally also. And so I want to talk about that just a little bit. For note takers, here's some notes for you. In John 15 and 16, chapter 15, chapter 16, the book of John, Jesus talks about five things the Holy Spirit will do when he comes, okay? Number one is convict. He's going to convict. And most people look at that as bad, and they go, and they think about it as just being the conviction of sin, but that's not what it says. What it says is he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Convicted of righteousness means God will tell you you're right with God. Anybody ever feel like you're not right with God? Okay? How do you fix that? Number one is, I might have sin between me and God, and I need to confess it. Has anybody ever confessed your sin and still not felt right with God? I have a question. Come on. Just be honest just a minute. Okay? I've confessed my sin. I still didn't. You need the Holy Spirit to convict you that you're right with God. Okay? How about if you don't feel right with God? If you don't feel right with God and God tells you you're right with God, which one of you are right? Betsy and I, she'll remember it. We had an amazing encounter. It's one of my most pastoral, wisest things I've ever done in my life. She's going through a tough time. I went out to the Duck Creek Gardens, walked in, and we had a little conversation. And I go, you're right with God. And she said, okay. That was it. That was the counseling session. I only charged her $250 for half the hour, $125. I was making money. It was amazing. For real, sometimes all I need is somebody else to confirm what I already know in my heart, right? How'd you know it in your heart? Yeah, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted me that I was right with God, okay? And here's the third thing he convicts of. John 16:8. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin. He's going to tell you you're not right with God. Anybody ever had God tell you you're not right with me? Uh-huh. And did anybody ever stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 but yeah, but this is fun? I call it the la, la moment. God said, don't, and I went, la, 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 la. And he goes, don't, and I go, la, 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 la. Does he ever change his mind? No, because he was right. Yeah, like before you were born, he was right, okay? And so now what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to adjust you to his opinion, right? And so God says no, I say yes. God says no, I say yes. Who's going to win that argument? How about giving up today? Today's a great day to go, okay, God, you win, right? And he convicts, but each one of those convictions needs my participation before it becomes powerful in my life. So God goes, you're sinning. I go, no, I'm not. And he goes, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I said, you are. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. He goes, yeah, I know. Huh? And now I become right with God by agreeing with what God says. And then the second time I go, I'm worthless. He goes, you're worth the blood of my son. I'm worthless. No, you're my child. No, God, I'm worthless. No, you're my child. Okay, you're right. I'm your child. He goes, yeah, I know. Right? He's convicted of righteousness, and now I agree with his opinion. So the Holy Spirit is convicting in order to conform. He's conforming me to the person of Christ. That's what he's doing. Does that make sense? And conforming us to the person of Christ. All right? So he convicts, and then the third thing is he convicts the world of judgment. And I go, oh, God's going to judge the world. That is true, but that's not what that scripture says. It will convict of judgment that he will judge the God of this world. That's 16:8, John 16:8. What does that mean? Here's what it means. The devil's defeated. Anybody ever feel like the devil's winning? Today it seems like the devil's winning. And Jesus goes, you need the Holy Spirit to come to your heart and convict you, one, of your sin, two, of your righteousness, and three, you need a constant reminder that the devil is defeated forever and always, and judgment isn't here yet, but it's on its way. I have a friend who goes, I want the cancer demon because the Bible says God's casting all the demons. He goes, I read the end of the book, my friend. He goes, I read the end of the book. It's in Revelation, and he goes, and the devil and all his cohorts are going to the pit forever. And my friend goes, yeah, that's an amen. My friend goes, I want the cancer demon because it has affected my family so much. I know there's a day there will be no more cancer. And then when I get to heaven, he goes, I want to be the one that kicks that cancer demon into the pit. And I go, okay, good. Here's what had happened. The Holy Spirit had reminded him, we win, the devil's defeated. And so I need, and the word convict means convince. If you are convicted of a crime, that means the jury was convinced you were wrong. That's in the natural. Watch this. God is convicted. He's right. He is using the Holy Spirit to convince people that God's right. On what? Conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Sin, those that are separated from God. Righteousness, those that have come to Christ, and judgment for the kingdom of darkness. So one, he convicts. Here's the second thing the Holy Spirit does, is he comforts. Sometimes this world is so difficult, I need some medicine from outside this world to help my heart. And so God goes, I'm not just going to send you medicine, I'm going to send you my own presence. That presence comes from outside this world, and it will give you a peace that passes understanding that will comfort your heart. So today, somebody in here may need comfort from outside this world. We come together as the body of Christ, Holy Spirit among us, and he brings supernatural comfort. Okay? And some of us are not quite as smart as we need to be. You ever found yourself, somebody was telling me, somebody was with a group of people and they're going, I was first in my class, I was second in my class, I was third in my class, and I graduated, and I go, well, there were 730 some people in my graduating class, and I was in the top of the bottom third. But that means I'd have been first in your class because there's only 200. Okay. Sometimes it may be that I do not have enough information, or I don't have right information, or I don't know what to do. Here's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will come and he will instruct you into all truth, not just Bible truth. So that's good news. So he comforts, he convicts, he comforts, he instructs. Number three, he guides. We're going to hit this one today. I'm going to preach to the end, and to the end, we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, some of us just need a guidance that's outside the realm of my ability to gather information. Here's the way I make decisions. I gather information. Anybody, an information gatherer? I'm just glad I was born in this time frame, because there is a thing called Google, and all the information of all the ages is at a click of my phone, and I love it, right? But when I make a decision, generally is what happens is I gather the information and I make a decision that's going to cause me to have the least amount of loss. And then B, the most amount of gain, because that's how humans think. You will A, make decisions so you don't lose, and B, you will make decisions so you gain. It's the only reason you make any decision is so you won't lose something or you'll gain something. That's the way a human... And now, how about this? I have three decisions. I don't know which one is the best one. Anybody ever been there? I don't like any one of them, and staying here is not a good idea, right? Right? How about this, guys? How about if there was an eternal instructor that would come and give you instructions on what to do and give you guidance on where to do it? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Okay, so that's called the Holy Spirit. He convicts, he comforts, he instructs, he guides, and number five, he gives. And what Jesus says in John 16 is he will take that which is mine and give it to you. Let me give you a real short outline. I'll speak as slowly as I can for the note takers to get it. And then I want to give you a couple stories and run you to a scripture. The scripture I'm going to run you to is Romans 8, if you want to get there early. It'll be Romans 8:14. But when you talk about giving, there are two major sections of giving, two dimensions of giving the Holy Spirit does. He gives fruit, and he sows the seed, and then he grows it. Fruit is grown. Anybody know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, humility, and what's number nine? Self-control, right? I don't like self-control because I like bread too much. Sometimes you don't have a demonic issue. You have a self-control issue. And with bread, I have both. Okay, yeah. So the Holy Spirit, everything he's doing is working with you in the development of fruit of the Spirit, or he gives gifts of the Spirit. There are gifts of the Spirit. There is fruit of the Spirit. Gifts, the Holy Spirit just gives it. I'm going to give you some really bad good news. You do not get to choose your gift of the Spirit. I really wanted to be a good singer. I feel like I got that gift, but I've never been able to get a witness. And I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't matter how much I want to be a singer. You have to have something called A, rhythm. Don't have it. B, pitch. Don't have it. C, tone. Don't have it. But I'm going to be a singer anyway. You ever seen anybody like that? It's called American Idol. Have you ever saw those people on American Idol that their grandma told them they could sing and they believe grandma's lie? And before the whole nation, they let everybody know grandma's a liar because they cannot sing. It is the same in the spiritual realm. You do not choose your spiritual gifting. Who chooses that? God who? Father, Son. Yeah, because the Bible says it is the Holy Spirit that gives gifts. Huh. See, you didn't just wake up and be you. It is the Holy Spirit that gave the talent A, the supernatural special gift B. The talent is the natural, the gift is the supernatural. They blend together and make you you. And you never chose it. You just woke up out of birth with the ability to do certain things. I watched a guy one time, and he played this really hard riff on the guitar. He handed it to another guy, and he goes, play it. And the guy goes, are you crazy? I can't do that. It was astounding to his own mind that the other guy couldn't play it. Found out later, he had won the national flat pick contest in America. He was the best guitar player of that style in America. Had taken that and honed it at 6 to 8 hours a day, and then handed a guitar. Okay, it was me. Handed a guitar to a guitar player and could not believe that guy could not play it like that. Now, the ability may be the gift from God. The honing it is my gift back to God. And now on the other end, God can get glory. Does that make sense? And the Holy Spirit is interacting by giving you gifts and fruit and then working with you on the fruit. Okay, and I'm going to ask a very silly sounding question. What fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit working on in your life right now? You go, I don't know. Yep, that's what you pay me for. That's what my job is. It's to know. And if you'll pay me a little bit more, I'll let you know. No. I'm making fun of guys that try to live off of the gospel by taking their gift and monetizing it against the church. And I think that's just stupid. Anybody agree with me? It is just stupid. You got it from free from God, and freely you've received, freely give. And let people give back to you so you can become rich too. It'll be all good. Next week I'll go deep on this because I don't have time. But I want to begin something that really needs to be talked about. Everything that happens in your life is growing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. What the Holy Spirit is doing is conforming you to Christ. Every good thing and every bad thing in your life has grown love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, or temperance. Everything has grown those. I can work with God or I can fight God. My dad was a twin brother. They were identical twins. At one point, only their brother could tell them apart. One day, their dad told them, go weed the garden. One was pulling weeds. One was pulling plants. When they got done, they had a dirt field. And they wouldn't tell which one was pulling which. Now watch. When I'm working with the Holy Spirit, it is the dismantling of weeds so the fruit can grow. When I resist the Holy Spirit, it's emptying the field. Let me tell you what he'll do, because he's really smart. And he only grows, perennials. It comes back, right? When I work with him, I can develop it. When I'm working against him, it will just cause it to be stagnant, but he's going to come back and work with it again. What fruit of the Spirit is growing in your life right now? And God will work on all of them, but generally there's a specific one he's working on. Let me tell you what will happen. When that fruit gets developed, it will crush the devil. People talk about gifts of the Spirit. They forget to talk about fruit of the Spirit. If I have joy that can't be conquered, it just chaps the devil off every day. And he can't push me into particular areas because I have joy that is beyond his ability to push. And it's going to bring glory to Christ, And that fruit is going to develop other people around me. And as they develop, they're going to give glory to Christ. And they're going to defeat the devil. And that's going to go on and on and on and on. Yay, God. And Jesus is going to get glory forever on earth and in heaven because of the fruit of the Spirit that's growing in my life. And most Christians give it no attention, don't care about it, don't know about it, read the Bible once in a while, come to church on Sunday. And it is way beyond that. What God is doing is conforming you to the image of Christ. He has personally sent the Holy Spirit to do that. And the Holy Spirit is working on a particular fruit in your life right now. You want me to tell you how to know what is being grown? I can tell you, it's very easy. Jerry and I prayed a prayer a couple weeks ago that the Lord would send heat because he goes, I got seed in the ground. It's going to drown, and the drowning ain't quite as bad as it's going to be too cold, and it can't open up. And what we need is 3 warm days. We got them, didn't we, Jerry? We got 3. Well, Jerry and I agreed together, and if you guys will give us, we'll split it, $20 each, $40. We'll pray for your needs also. Okay. Now watch. God is working. We are working with him. What in the world is he working on in you so you can work with him on it? That makes sense? Let me tell you what it is. It's the exact opposite of what's going on in your life. Because the exact opposite of that fruit is what will grow fruit in your life. Anybody ever pray for faith? God, increase my faith. Okay, we'll start there then. We need to pray that God would increase our faith. Have you ever prayed for faith? Let me tell you what you were praying for. Resistance. Because the only thing that can grow faith, Anita just said, oh, I know what the problem is now. I'm not praying for any more faith. Anybody ever want more joy in your life? Here's what's going to happen. You are going to have a difficult circumstance that is going to require that there is supernatural joy grown in you that is stronger than the circumstance that you're in, so you can laugh in the midst of the misery. I'm not playing. Whatever misery you can laugh in the midst of means the misery can no longer control you. But joy is not about some frivolous, name it and claim it, be happy, turn that smile upside down. It's not that. What it is a depth of joy that cannot be dominated by earthly circumstances. Anybody ever pray for peace? You should. Have you ever prayed for peace? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Tell me what happens if you pray for peace. Yeah. Anybody want to be excellent in anything? Is anybody awake today? If you want to be excellent, that means you need to have a high-pressure circumstance that demands more skill than you have right now. I'm going to tell you, Darren is one of the most skillful floor layers in this region. And I guarantee you how he learned it is he took on a job he could not do. Is it true, Darren? He just took on a job. He goes, man, this is like way over me. And then when he got done, he was like, dang, that looks pretty good right there. And now he goes, I can do that kind of flooring anywhere, anytime, because I stepped above what I was able to do. And now if you're a believer, God will lead you to it and then empower you while you do it, and you can put that right in that patience place. I don't even like people to say the P word around me. But patience means you're enable to endure across difficulty with skill. That's the word patience. Mm-hmm. Anybody have anybody being very unlovely to you? Don't raise your hand and don't look at the person. Let me tell you, the only way you can learn to love is to love someone that doesn't love you back. Let me give you some real help. If you are betrayed or deceived, You will either grow in love or you will grow in bitterness. It's only two options. There are no two other options. There are none. Because you're betrayed, you'll get angry. You get angry, you'll get bitter because you can't go back and change it. You didn't deserve it. Why did God allow it? A, B, C, D, 15 things will run through your mind. But at the end of the day, you're either going to get better, bitter, or you're going to grow in love. The only way you can grow in love is for some is to love somebody that does not love you back. It's the only way. If somebody doesn't love me back when I love them, the natural choice is bitterness. Who is the father of bitterness? Who is the father of love? The fruit of one of them is growing in my heart all the time. Right? So I go, oh God, I want to love you more. I might reverse this prayer if I'd have known it was going to be like this, God. God, I want to love you more. Somebody becomes very unloving to you. You love them back. It grows love in your heart. And now you can take that love to God and give it to him. Anybody want to grow in self-control? No, I like being mad when I want to be mad the way I want to be mad. As mad as I want to get. I'm feeling good right now. I guess there's some kind of anointing on me. It's probably not from God. Right? Let me tell you how God grows you in self-control. He puts you in circumstances that are beyond your control. Is it right, Tina? Huh? He puts you in circumstances beyond your control, and now you have to control yourself in an uncontrollable circumstance. Right? And now the Holy Spirit goes, I've been waiting for you to get right there for a long time. Let me come help you control yourself. Because in those circumstances, I usually want to control everybody else. I know what's wrong, and it's them. And if they would just do this, this whole circumstance would change. My life would get better. I'm glad Molly's in the nursery because I can give personal illustrations on her praying for me. Is it not true? Now, it is. I cannot control it. I know what's wrong with them. And now the Holy Spirit comes and gives me the ability to control myself in an uncontrollable circumstance. And now fruit is grown. Now the next time I get in that circumstance, just like Darren walking in, there was a time that Darren laid a particular type of floor for the first time. It was hard. And now that kind of floor, he doesn't even think about. Is it true, Darren? He doesn't even think about it anymore. He walks in, and in his mind, he's already got the other floor out, that floor in. Everything is smooth. He know I got to do this next, this, this, and this. It was not like that the first time. But it is like it this time. It is the same thing when the Lord allows a circumstance or sometimes puts you in a circumstance that causes faith to grow in you. Here's my faith growing. There is no way I can get out of this situation. I got money. Okay, I'm gonna follow this. When I was a kid, I believed God, I trusted him. That was for me. Then I got married. Then I had kids. Then I was a pastor. Well, I actually was a pastor, then got married, then I, okay. Anyway, I'm believing for me, I'm believing for church, believing for kids, believing for family. And it went, and I go, I don't have enough money to pay this bill. I don't care. Wife and kids, I don't have enough money to pay this bill. I care. Church, I don't have enough money to pay this bill. I really care. A lot of people are depending. Then became administrator of a school. I need $30,000 in 2 days. There is no resource. I go, God, I learned you are the one who takes care of me back here. And he goes, yeah, but what I'm doing is growing you in faith, but I'm growing you in faith by increasing difficulty. Does that make some manner of sense? But now, that level only blessed you. This level blesses multitudes of people. That one gave the devil a black eye. This one gave him a knockdown punch. That one got particular glory to God that was like this. This one gets particular glory to God that's like this. Now watch. What fruit is God growing in you today? I don't know, God. Okay, let me look at the challenge I'm going through. What's the opposite of that? Now, here's some really good news. The Holy Spirit is going to give you surges of grace in that area to get through that challenge. You're going to have surges of grace that you never had before in this area so that that fruit can be grown for the glory of Christ. Isn't that amazing? He will take that which belongs to Christ, give it to us, empower it, so Christ can be glorified by the fruit that is grown in our life on that day. Isn't that? Okay, I preached last week, this week. Now what am I going to do? No, I'm going to take you someplace because there's a particular thing I want to get to. Let me tell you two stories, read this scripture, and then I want to pray. Okay? And you got it. It's the Romans 8. I was 27 years old. I was at IU Med Center. I'm standing in ICU. And my wife, we've been married about 7 years, is lying in the bed, and the doctors have told me there is less than a 10% chance she'll live. Less than 10%. I'm not going to tell you all the mitigating circumstances. And the most humane thing we can do, the best thing we can do for her, is palliative care, turn off the respirator, stop dripping the drugs, let her go to be, he's a Christian, to be with the Lord. She trusts the Lord. She's had a good life. She's young. I understand that. She's only 25 years old. I understand that. He goes, but if we don't, she has years of pain in front of her. The rest of her life, she's going to have to deal with problems that she has. It's always going to be painful. It's always going to be difficult. There is hardly any way she's going to live. If I have to give it percentages, I'm going to 5 to 6% that she can even make it. I'm going to let you talk with her. I'm going to let you pray. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to ask you, will you make the decision that we will remove the oxygen, take out the respirator? I'm standing over her, and deep inside me, I call it a knowing in my knower. It's called the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. It is not accumulated information that makes a right decision. It is an intrusion of God into a human heart that says, here's what my decision is. 6%, 5%, she could live. If she does live, it is going to be pain. There is no way that I think that she's going to make it for the next 4 hours. If she does make it in the next 4 hours, we're going to do a procedure. If we do the procedure will probably kill her, but you tell me in about 10 minutes whether we should do the procedure or just go ahead and turn off the oxygen. And God in my heart says, she's going to live. Internally. I can't tell you how I know it. I never got information to know it. I just hear it. and I go out to a very disgusted doctor and say, let's try the procedure. Okay. He goes, we're doing it at 4 o'clock if nothing changes. At 3:58, something changed. They didn't do the procedure, and she lived for 8 more years. I just knew in my knower. I was 59 years of age. I'm sitting in a hospital room. My mom is in the hospital room. The doctor tells me the heart valve is not closing. This is a procedure that they do at Methodist Hospital about 127 times a day. It's serious, but they do it a whole lot. Her strength and how her health and this and that. He goes, I don't anticipate that this is a bad problem, and we're going to schedule. We need to pull some fluid off of her. We're going to transfer her to Methodist Hospital, and we're going to repair that heart valve. And I hear in my knower of knowers, you better say goodbye to your mom. La, 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 la. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And within a few hours, about 24, 30 hours of that point, my mom went to heaven. I say that to say this. The information may say one thing, but you know by the witness of the Spirit in your heart that God is saying this. And next week I want to take that internal witness. I call it knowing in my knower. That's my simple way of saying it. I don't know how I know it. I just know that I know it because God's speaking it to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. If you're a believer, you know what I'm talking about. Let me read scripture. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness in your spirit that you are a child of God. That word, the Spirit bears witness in your spirit, is a word that means, it's a technical legal term, and it means the Holy Spirit is giving testimony. The Holy Spirit is standing before the court of heaven and giving testimony in your heart. It's called bearing witness of the Spirit inside you and at an interior depth that is not known by human intuition or information. It is God speaking to your heart. The Bible gives us, and you need to come back next week, because I'm going to talk about, there are 4 or 5 things the Bible says God will give internal witness on that will change your life ever, because God is working with you to grow fruit and develop gifts that help other people, bring glory to God, and cause your own life to be lived in the fulfillment that God desires for you. Isn't that like cool? That is like supernaturally amazing that the Holy Spirit. This morning I want to pray 2 things. Next week I'll develop them greatly, but I heard clearly from the Lord about these 2 things. One is we want to pray for the supernatural comfort of the Holy Spirit for those that are in this room this morning. Okay? Number 2 is we want to pray for the supernatural direction, instruction, guidance of the Holy Spirit in the heart of those that are in this room, because there are decisions that you need to make that I want to encourage you. Don't make them just by information. Gather the information. That's fine. Make it by the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. Does that sound good? Anybody go, I just need some supernatural comfort, or I know somebody that needs comfort that comes from God. And does anybody else say, I am in an area where a decision needs to be made. I want that decision to be made according to the wisdom of God, not my own self. Amen. We got that. So we're going to pray generally over that, and then our worship team is going to come and worship. Has this been helpful for somebody? It's been helpful. I just preached my own heart happy. I had a friend, and I preached 3 times a month. He preached once a month, and he goes, sometimes, there are 2 things he laughed at me. He's my buddy, but he said, whenever I'm preaching and you're sitting on the front row, he goes, maybe you got to quit sitting on the front row. He said, you look like a hockey player that's in the penalty box and you just want to knock me out of the way so you can preach. He goes, I feel that. And he goes, and then when you're preaching, sometimes I watch you preach your own self happy. He goes, you're just preaching along and all of a sudden it hits you. And he goes, you're preaching yourself happier than you're preaching us. So this morning, that was one of those. I just preaching my own self happy. I want to pray those 2 things, and I believe it's by the directive of the Lord. For our house, and you just pick out somebody in your mind that you know, or you go, Jesus, me, that just needs a supernatural comfort that comes from God that puts you in a place of peace so you can make the right decision. And then may the Holy Spirit give the supernatural direction that causes you to make the right decision under the wisdom and understanding of God himself. That'd be good. So, Lord, I believe that you've drawn us here, and I believe that you will send this word to places where there just needs to be a comfort that comes from you that is beyond this natural realm. You said when the Spirit comes that he will give comfort that is beyond the ability of humans to comfort. Lord, sometimes the circumstances take us to a place of agitation that it's difficult to even make decisions. And I pray that you would break that and that you would bring a peace that passes understanding. It can't even be, we're in situations we can't understand. So would you bring a peace that passes understanding? I just pray all over this room. Holy Spirit, just come as comforter. Be the supernatural comfort from God. You said no man needs to instruct us, that the anointing would lead us into all truth. So I pray for my friends that we have decisions that are life-changing. They involve children. They involve people that will be influenced by our decisions. There's a family going to be affected by what we say, what we do. And I'm asking you, give the internal witness, give the knowing in the knower that this is just the right thing at the right time. Father, I pray that you would set out the stop sign for those that are headed towards sin that will lead in destruction. For those that are already involved in it, that there would come a conviction that comes from God, that's in the heart, that goes, I need to make this right now, that averts future judgment, danger, and destruction. He said there's a way that's right to men that ends in destruction, but there is a way that leads to life. And I pray for my friends that you would just make it clear, this is the way that leads to life. Whether we've gathered information, we've stood and tried to make right decision, but now I pray that the Holy Spirit would just bring supernatural instruction what to do and how to do it. Pray for those that don't know Christ, that today would be the day that they would be drawn to the glorious Savior and the life that he has designed for them. Your blessing be over us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.